Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of Monster Blood 3 by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Someone messaged me and reminded me that even though this is number 29 in the series, I hadn't done it yet, which I was surprised by. I thought I was past all those, but they were right. I would say your name, but the Facebook messaging thing, I don't know if it like deleted all my messages or made it so I need to install the app, which I refuse to do, the Facebook Messenger. So I don't know. I tried to look him up and tried to get back to you on that, or maybe I did and told you I would do it next. And then there's another dude that told me to listen to a podcast about people, I don't know, some sort of zombie show. And I listened to the first three episodes and it wasn't for me. Sorry. I don't know. I didn't dig it. I like other stuff. Sorry. I feel bad. I don't know why I feel bad that I didn't like something, but I didn't. Anyway, what's been going on for old Dooner? Let's see. I got back from Hawaii on Monday. I'm recording this on Sunday, so almost a week after. I went to the Big Island for the first time. I'd been to Maui and Kauai, but never the island of Hawaii, the big one. I had a good time. I was with both my fiance, Concetta, and then my brother and his wife, who I love, and my parents, and we stayed in a condo that my uncle owns. So it was nice. It was Hawaii on the cheap. It was good times. It was great. Yeah, I turned 30 while I was there. On my 30th birthday, we did this thing where you, like, get in these inflatable kayaks and go down. They call it shooting the flume. But you're essentially just floating in the old irrigation ditches that they, like, Japanese immigrant workers built before Hawaii was part of America, kind of thing. And they don't use them anymore, so it's completely, like, overgrown and taken over by the jungle. So it was a rad fucking thing to do on my birthday. Did a bunch of stuff. Went to the, what's the Tommy Bahama restaurant? They give you free stuff, apparently, if you have a Tommy Bahama tattoo, which I learned by having one. And, went to the Tommy Bahama store, and Concetta got me stuff for my birthday. And, yeah, I don't know. That's what's been going on. This is the first year since I was 9 or so, I think, that I haven't been to Comic-Con. Comic-Con, this is the last day of Comic-Con right now in San Diego. I had a press pass sent to me, but I wasn't going to use it and work for the old Comics Online. Hey, check out the Comics Online podcast while you're at it. I used to host it, and now it's still good. Anyway, yeah, so I didn't go to that, which was kind of a bummer, but not really. I don't know. I'm 30. I just turned 30. Why am I still reading goddamn Goosebumps? I don't know. So, anyway, oh, the messaging thing. So the Facebook Messenger, I don't know, I'll probably still figure out how to use it or it won't delete my goddamn messages. But if it doesn't, you can always email me at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com or dunereadsgoosebumps@gmail.com or, I don't know, hit me up on Twitter at Dune or Instagram at Dune_M or, you know, wherever else people are nowadays. I don't know. Anyway, Monster Blood 3. I'm drinking a vodka and peach iced tea because it was low in calories, and I'm into that right now. Chapter number one. Oh yeah, this one is the one on the cover with some kid in Converse, and he's super huge, and he's stepping on a playground. It's pretty iconic. Chapter one. The monster blood! It's growing again! Evan Ross stared at the quivering green blob in his driveway. It looked like an enormous wad of sticky green bubblegum and was bigger than a beach ball. Bigger than two beach balls. It's weird because beach balls come in different sizes, so it's hard to say. There's the little promotional concert ones, which are really small, that say like a radio station name, and bigger than two of those isn't that impressive, is it, Franklin? He's tired. The green blob trembled and shook as if it were breathing hard. It made disgusting sucking sounds. Then it started to bounce. Don't stop up that pussy, let me see that doodle brown. Evan took a step back. How did the sticky goo get out of its can? He wondered. Who left in the driveway? Who opened the can? Evan knew that once monster blood starts to grow, it can't be stopped. Like the Trump campaign. It will grow and grow and suck up everything in its path. Like the Hillary campaign. Get it? I did both. I don't care. I don't know what's going on. Evan knew this from painful experience. He had seen a giant glob of monster blood swallow kids whole, and he had seen what had happened when his dog Trigger had eaten monster blood. Hi, Scarlet. The Cocker Spaniel had grown and grown and grown until he was big enough to pick up Evan in his teeth and bury him in the backyard, like Clifford, the big red dog, but it's the green version, like when Hulk Red was versus Hulk Green in the Marvel Universe like 6 years ago. Right, Scarlet? How you doing, babe? You came to see me today? It's very sweet of you. A small chunk of monster blood had turned Cuddles, the tiny hamster in Evan's class, into a raging, growling monster. The giant hamster, bigger than a gorilla, had roared through the school, destroying everything in its path. This gunk is dangerous, Evan thought. It may be the most dangerous, green, slimy stuff on Earth. So, how did it get in Evan's driveway? And what the fuck was he gonna do about it? The monster blood bounced and hiccuped like a drunk. It made more disgusting sucking sounds. All right, I'll do it again. As it bounced, it picked up sticks and gravel from the driveway as if it were playing Minecraft. They stuck to its side for a moment before being sucked into the center of the giant wet ball. Evan took another step back as the ball slowly started to rollin'. Keep that monster blood rollin'. Dune rules. Oh no! A low moan escaped his throat. Please, no. The monster blood rolled over the driveway toward Evan, picking up speed as it moved. Evan had tossed one of his rollerblades, that's in capital because it's not inline skates, it's rollerblade brand rollerblades, by the side of his house. The green goo swallowed up the skate with a loud thwack. Evan gulped as he saw the skate disappear into the bouncing green ball. I'm next, he stammered out loud. No way, he told himself. I'm getting out of here. He turned to run and went sprawling over the other skate. Ow, he cried out as he fell hard on his elbows and knees as if being a one-man human centipede. Pain shot up in his arms. He had landed on both funny bones. Shaking away the tingling, he scrambled to his knees. He turned in time to see something goo. To see... Wow, not something at all. Let's go back. He turned in time to see the seething goo roll all over him. He opened his mouth to scream, but the scream was trapped inside him as the heavy green gunk splattered all over his face. Ow, skeet, 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 skeet. He thrashed both arms wildly, kicking his feet, but the goo wrapped around him, pulling him in. I can't breathe, he realized, and then Urithang turned green. Dabadida, I'm green. Chapter number 2. Evan, stop daydreaming and eat your jello, Mrs. Ross scolded. God damn it, R.L. Stein. Well, we're on chapter 2 and it's already one of those, it was all just a dream situations. That's no good. Evan shook his head hard. The daydream had seemed so real. His mother's voice still sounded far away. Evan, hurry. Eat the jello. You'll be late. That's another brand name in here. Was R.L. Stein getting money from sponsorships? Mom, Evan said softly, could you do me a really big favor? What favor? The mom asked him patiently, pushing back her straight blonde hair into a ponytail. Could we never have green jello again? Like the band Green Jelly, who used to be called Green Jello, but they had to change their name and the little pig let me in and that sort of stuff. Could you just buy other colors, not green? He stared at the shimmering, quivering green mound of jello in the glass bowl in front of him on the kitchen counter. Evan, you're weird, Mrs. Ross replied, rolling her eyes. Hurry up. Kermit is probably wondering where you are. Kermit is probably busy blowing up his house. Jesus. My friend Kermit has a meth lab, and he's blown his house up 3 times, but he keeps buying a new one because the money's so good, Evan replied glumly. He pulled the spoon out of the jello. It made a gross, sucking sound. All the more reason for you to hurry over there, his mom said sharply. You are responsible for him, Evan. You are in charge of your cousin until his mom gets home from work. Evan shoved the green jello away. I can't eat this, he murmured. It makes me think of monster blood. It is the blood. It is the monster blood. Mrs. Ross has made a disgusted face. Don't mention that slimy shit. Evan climbed down from the stool. Mrs. Ross pushed a hand gently through his curly, carrot-colored hair. It's nice to help you out, he said softly. Aunt Dee can't really afford a babysitter. Kermit doesn't need a babysitter. He needs a keeper, Evan grumbled. Or maybe a trainer, like he's some sort of Pokemans. A guy with a whip and a chair. Or just like a red and white hat and like a sense of adventure. Like in the circus or in the Pokemans. Kermit looks up to you. By the way, I just want to say that Team Valor is the only way to go. And if you're not on Team Valor, get out of here. Get out of here. Connie's not on Team Valor. She's on Team Mystic. And, like I said to fucking Kelly who listens to this podcast, Team Mystic dipshits eat raw powder Bisquick. That was my rhyme. I was proud of it. Kermit looks up to you, Mrs. Ross insisted. Only because he's 2 feet tall, Evan exclaimed like a regular dune. I can't believe he's my cousin. He's such a nerd. Kermit isn't a nerd. Kermit is a genius, Mrs. Ross declared because the word autistic didn't exist yet. He's only 8, and he's already a scientific genius. Some genius, Evan grumbled. Mom, yesterday he melted my sneakers. That wasn't like a sneakers bar, like the candy and some sort of accent. It was his shoes, like his kicks, you know? Like some Yeezy 350 Oxford Tans, you know what I'm saying? Mrs. Ross's pale blue eyes grew wide. He what? He made one of his concoctions. Amphetamine. It was a bright yellow liquid. Mellow yellow. He said it would toughen up the sneakers, so they would never wear out. And you let him put the stuff on your sneakers? Evan's mom demanded. I didn't have a choice, Evan replied unhappily. I have to do everything Kermit wants. If I don't, he tells Aunt Dee I was mean to him. Mrs. Ross shook her head, as if Betsy Ross did while looking at the American flag and realizing it should just look like a Budweiser can, because that's American as fuck. It even says America on it right now. I wondered why you came home barefoot yesterday. My sneakers are still stuck to Kermit's basement floor, Evan told her. They melted right off my feet. Well, be careful over there, okay? Yeah, sure, Evan replied. He pulled his Atlanta Braves cap over his head, waved to his mother, and headed out the back door like poo-poo. It was a warm spring day. 2 black and yellow monarch butterflies fluttered over the flower garden. The bright new leaves on the trees shimmered in the sunlight. Evan stopped at the bottom of the driveway and lowered the baseball cap to shield his eyes from the sun. He squinted down the street, hoping to see his friend Andy. No sign of her. Shucks. Disappointed, he kicked a large pebble along the curb and started to make his way toward Kermit's house. Aunt Dee, Sweet Dee as we called her, Kermit's mom, paid Evan $3 an hour to watch Kermit after school every afternoon. $300 an hour would be a lot more fair, he thought angrily. That's a lot of money to make, dude. $300 an hour? That's like 300 times 8. That's a day times 5. That's like a week, you know? You know? Okay. Times 52, right? 3 times 8 times 52. That's 124. Wait, what? That's not very much money. I guess so. 300 an hour. What the fuck am I doing? Times 8. Oh, sorry. I typed in wrong. Times 5 times 52. Then we'll see how much he makes in a year. If it was, you know, 300 an hour and working 8 hours a day. 624,000. That's some 1%er shit right there. I'd watch Kermit for that. He could fucking melt my shoes every day and I'd just buy a new pair of Adidas Sambas because that's what I wear. But Evan was glad to earn the money. He was saving for a new Walkman. Trigger had mistaken his old Walkman for a dog bone, but Evan was earning every penny. Kermit was impossible. That was the only word for him. Impossible. He didn't want to play video games. Fucking idiot. He didn't want to watch TV. Nerd. He refused to go outside and play ball or toss a frisbee around. Gaylord. He didn't even want to sneak down to the little grocery on the corner and load up on candy bars and potato chips. All he wanted to do was a zoom, zoom, zoom in his boom, boom and shake his rump. Just kidding. That's a song. All he wanted to do was go downstairs in his dark, damp basement lab and mix beakers of chemicals together. My experiments, he calls them. I have to do my experiments. This kid rules. Wish I knew him in high school. Maybe he is a genius, Evan thought bitterly, but that doesn't make him any fun. He's just impossible. Evan definitely wasn't enjoying his after-school babysitting job watching Kermit. In fact, he had several daydreams in which Kermit tried one of his own mixtures and melted to the basement floor, just like Evan's sneakers, or that one girl in the anti-pot commercial where she smokes weed and melts into the couch and giggles at the TV. I wish weed was that tight. Then I would smoke it, but I don't like it because it just makes me anxious and miserable. Some afternoons, Andy came along, and that made the job a little easier. Andy thought Kermit was really weird, too, but at least she was there. Evan had someone to talk to, someone who didn't want to talk about mixing aluminum pyrite with sodium. Chlorazepam, get her done. What is Kermit's problem, anyway? Evan wondered as he crossed the street and made his way through backyards toward Kermit's house. What does he think mixing is so much fun? Mix Master Kermit. Why is he always mixing this with that and that with this? I can't even mix chocolate milk. Yeah, maybe you're the one with the problem. Kermit's house came into view 2 yards down. Not 2 yards as in a measurement of feet, but 2 yards as in two house front yards. Just letting you guys know. It was a two-story white house with a sloping black roof. Evan picked up his pace. He was about 15 minutes late. He hoped that Kermit hadn't gotten into some kind of trouble. He had just pushed his way through the prickly, low hedges that fenced in Kermit's yard when a familiar, gruff voice made him freeze. Evan, were you looking at my yard? Huh? Evan recognized the voice at once. It belonged to Kermit's next-door neighbor, a kid from Evan's school. His name was Conan Barber. But the kids at school all called him Conan the Barbarian. Like you know, the comic book and the movie and the character, you know, Conan the Barbarian. Arnold Schwarzenegger played him. What do you mean you don't know that? It's a part of our, like, history. Right? Like a vulture tried to eat him and then he ate the vulture while he was like tied up. You don't remember that? Fuck it. That's because he had to be the biggest, meanest kid in Hotlanta. Maybe in the universe. Hold up, I'm getting a phone call from my fiance's mom of all people. Heyo. So that phone call I received on Sunday eventually led to me going swimming. Well, it led to me going, oh, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm actually busy doing something right now. Then I thought about it and I was like, I can do goosebumps whenever it's hot as fuck. I'm going swimming. So I called back and said yes. But now it's Thursday. Let's finish this up, shall we? His name was Conan Barber, but the kids at school all called him Conan the Barbarian. Some sort of diatribe about vultures? What the fuck, dude? That's because he had to be the biggest, meanest kid in Atlanta, maybe in the universe. Conan sat on top of the tall white fence that separated the yards. His cold blue eyes glared down at Evan. What are you looking at, my yard? That's not what he said at all. He said, were you looking at my yard? Conan demanded. He's very impressed by his yard. No way! Evan's voice came out in a squeak. No way! You were looking at my yard. That's trespassing. Ocular trespassing, Conan accused, as if he were Mac from It's Always Sunny. He leaped down from the high fence. He was big and very athletic. His hobby was leaping over kids he had just pounded into the ground. Really, it feels like the pounding into the ground would be the hobby, and the leaping over is just what he did afterwards. It's just one leap, unless he goes back and forth, like Jack be nimble over a candlestick. Conan wore a gray muscle shirt and baggy, faded jeans cutoffs because this was the 90s. He also wore a very mean expression. Whoa, wait a minute, Conan. Evan protested, or Conan is probably easier to say. I was looking at Kermit's yard. I never look at your yard. Never. Conan stepped up to Evan. He stuck out his chest and bumped Evan hard. So hard, he stumbled backwards. That was Conan's other hobby, bumping kids with his chest. I bet he has other hobbies, such as lawn maintenance. You're just judging his hobbies based off of what you expect him to do. His chest didn't feel like a chest. It felt like a truck. Why don't you look at my yard? Conan demanded. Is there something wrong with my yard? Is my yard too ugly? Is that why you never look at it? Evan swallowed hard. It began to dawn on him that maybe Conan was itching for a fight. Before he could answer Conan, he heard a scratchy voice reply for him. It's a free country, Conan. Oh, no, Evan groaned, shutting his eyes. Evan's cousin, Kermit, stepped out from behind Evan. He was tiny and skinny, a very pale kid with a pile of white blonde hair and round black eyes behind big red plastic framed glasses. Evan always thought his cousin looked like a white mouse wearing glasses. Kermit wore enormous red shorts that came down nearly to his ankles, like El Jefe from NoFX in the early 90s, and a red and black Braves t-shirt. The short sleeves hung down past the elbows of his skinny arms. "What'd you say?" Conan demanded, glaring down menacingly at Kermit. It is a good image to have Conan, all angry and buff like the Barbarian, going down on Kermit the Frog, and, you know, doing stuff. It's a free country, Kermit repeated shrilly. Evan can look at any yard he wants to. Conan let out an angry growl, grrr, as he lumbered forward to pound Evan's face into mashed potatoes. Evan turned to Kermit. Thanks a lot, he told his cousin. Thanks for all your help. Which way do you want your nose to slant? Conan asked Evan. To the right or to the left? To the window, to the wall. Nah, that's not what we're singing right now. Chapter 3. Damn, I'm just at the beginning of this. I thought I was a little further. Don't do it! Kermit shrieked in his scratchy mouse voice. Conan raised a huge fist. With his other hand, he grabbed the front of Evan's t-shirt. He glared down at Kermit. Why not? He growled. Because I have this, Kermit declared, whipping out his monster penis. Oh, no, he didn't at all. Huh? Conan let go of Evan's shirt. He stared at the glass beaker Kermit had raised in both hands. The beaker was half full with a dark blue liquid. Conan let out a sigh and swept a beefy hand back through his wavy blonde hair. His blue eyes narrowed at Kermit. Was that your baby formula? That's actually a really good joke. Ha ha, Kermit replied sarcastically, obviously not having a joke like that queued up. If Kermit doesn't STFU, we're both going to get pounded, Evan realized. What is this little creep trying to do? He tugged at Kermit's sleeve, trying to pull him away from Conan. But Kermit ignored him. He raised the beaker close to Conan's face. It's an invisibility mixture, Kermit said. If I pour it on you, you'll disappear. Like in the Goosebumps book, My Best Friend is Invisible. I think that's what it was called. Anyway, we should both disappear, Evan thought frantically. hey, you should make, like, your best friend is invisible and disappear. That's what I'm going to start telling people so no one else wants to hang out with me. Oh, God, I'm 30. Evan thought frantically. He let his eyes dart around the backyard. Maybe I can make it through the hedge before Conan grabs me, he thought. If I can get around to around the next house and down the street, I might escape. But would it be right to leave little Kermit at Conan's mercy? Evan sighed. He couldn't abandon his cousin like that, even though Kermit was definitely axing for it. You're gonna make me invisible with that stuff? Does it work in proximity to the women's locker rooms? Just axing. Conan axed Kermit with a sneer. Kermit nodded. If I pour a few drops on you, you'll disappear. Really? I mixed it myself. It works. It's a mixture of Teflon dioxinate and magnesium parasulfate. Died. I almost got through that. Yeah, right, Conan muttered. He peered at the liquid in the beaker. What makes it blue? Food coloring, Kermit replied. Hey, when I was a kid, I used to put food coloring on my pancakes when I cooked them, and I think you should do that for your kids because it's fun. You can also just barely mix a couple different colors of food coloring in there and make little tie-dye pancakes. That's fun as fuck. That's some advice from Dune. That's all I'm saying. Then he lowered his squeaky voice, trying to sound tough. You'd better go home now, Conan. I don't want to have to use this stuff. Oh, wow, Evan thought, pulling the bill of his Braves cap down over his face. I can't bear to watch this. This is sad. Really sad. Kermit is such a jerk. Oh, Kermie. Go ahead, try it, Evan heard Conan say. Evan raised the cap so he could see. Kermit? Maybe we should go into the house now, he whispered. Wait, who? Evan raised the cap so he could... Okay, Evan whispered that they should go in the house. Yeah, you should. He's watching him. You shouldn't expose him to bullies. Go ahead. Make me invisible, Conan challenged. You really want me to? Kermit demanded. Yeah, motherfucko, Conan replied like a Jeffalo. I want to be invisible. Go ahead, Kermit. Pour some invisibility potion on me! Make me disappear. I dare you. Kermit raised the beaker over the gray muscle shirt that covered Conan's broad chest. Kermit, no! Evan pleaded. Don't, please don't. Evan made a frantic grab for the beaker. Too late. Kermit turned the beaker over and let the thick, blue liquid pour onto the front of Conan's shirt. Like some sort of wet t-shirt contest at the Windex factory. What does that even mean? Let's just keep going on. I'm going to have a sip of my cocktail. You guys can give me like a tiny break, right? Should probably check this recording, honestly. Oh, yeah, it is, baby. Don't even worry about that. All right, one more sip. Chapter number 4. Out of the corner of his eye, Evan saw a monarch butterfly fluttering over the low hedges. I wish I were a butterfly, he thought. My fiance's dad's calling. What the hell is up with this episode? I don't normally contact them. Here, let me deal with this. All right, I'm back. Unfortunately, no invite to go swimming this time. Just a normal phone call. Evan saw a monarch butterfly fluttering over the low hedges. I wish I were a butterfly, he thought. I wish I could flap my wings and float away. Well, just wait a couple years. You can be butterfly-kin and then judge other people for judging you on Tumblr. As far away from here as I can get. It's like the intro to Dragon Tales. A blue liquid oozed down the front of Conan's muscle shirt. All three boys stared at it in silence. Well, I'm not disappearing. Yeah, but your sperm count is right now. Conan murmured, narrowing his eyes suspiciously at Kermit. Then, his shirt started to shrink. Hey! Conan cried angrily. He struggled to pull off the shrinking shirt, and I could see his glorious chest. It got tinier and tinier. It's choking me, Conan shrieked. Wow, Kermit squeaked, his black eyes glowing excitedly behind his glasses. This is cool. Evan gazed in amusement as the muscle shirt shrank down to a tiny shred of cloth and then vanished completely. Now, Conan stood in front of them, bare-chested. I don't know if I talked about this last episode, but I did say I went to Hawaii, but you don't realize just where I am and who I know and stuff that being covered in tattoos is weird, you know? Like, it's not like a normal thing and most people aren't. So we were on this beautiful beach, but it was beautiful and fucking crowded because it was beautiful. It was the most crowded beach we were at in Hawaii, which was kind of a bummer. And Connie and I were walking down, and she's obviously way more tattooed than me, but I have the giant half-finished gorilla head on my entire chest. And people were staring and talking, and it was fucking bizarre. I don't know. I caught someone taking a picture of us. Oh, bare-chested is what brought that up. Point is, that's fucking weird, right? Someone just taking a picture of you randomly? Because you're a freak, I guess? I guess I would have been a freak a long time ago? I don't know. A heavy silence fell over the backyard as if someone had just farted. All three of them stared at Conan's broad, bare chest for a few moments. Conan broke the silence. "That was my best muscle shirt." He actually calls it a muscle shirt. He told Evan through gritted teeth. "Row," Evan uttered, Scooby-Doo-like. "Ooh, a drinking break." "I like your nose that way," Andy told Evan. "It kind of tilts in both directions at once." "I think it will go back to the way it was," Evan replied, patting his nose tenderly. "At least it stopped hurting so much," he sighed. "All the other cuts and bruises will go away too, in time." It was 2 days later. Evan sat across from Andy in the lunchroom at school. He stared down sadly at the tuna fish sandwich his mom had packed for him, wishing there was more dolphin in it. He hadn't taken a bite. His mouth wasn't working exactly right yet. It kept going sideways instead of up and down. Andy wiped a chunk of egg salad off her cheek. What is up with all these parents packing lunches for their kids that are like mayonnaise-based? It's a hot day in Atlanta, and they're just eating sandwiches that are just mayonnaise that's been sitting around for 6 hours. She had short brown hair and big brown eyes that stared across the table at Evan. Andy didn't dress like most of the other kids in their 6th grade class. She liked bright colors, a lot of bright colors. Today, she wore a yellow vest over a magenta t-shirt and orange day-glow shorts. When Andy moved to Atlanta in the beginning of the school year, some kids made fun of her colorful clothes, but they didn't anymore. Now everyone agreed that Andy had style, and a few kids were even copying her look. Fucking biters. So, what happened after Conan the Barbarian pounded your body into coleslaw? Andy asked. She pulled a handful of potato chips from her bag and shoved them in her mouth, one by one. Evan took a few bites from a section of his tuna sandwich. It took him a long time to swallow. Conan made me promise I'd never look in his yard again. So ridiculous. Jesus, I need some water. He told Andy. I had to raise my right hand and swear. Then he went home. Evan sighed. He touched his sore nose again. After that, after Conan left, What the fuck? All right, and give me a second. After Conan left, Kermit helped me hobble into his house. Evan continued. A little while later, Aunt Dee got home. Then what happened? Andy asked, crinkling up the empty potato chip bag. I hope she did that move where you close your eyes and you dump the dust in the butt face and you just never feel fatter and you never want to do it around people ever. She saw that I was messed up, Evan replied. So she asked what happened. Evan shook his head and scowled. And before I could say anything, that little rat Kermit piped up and said, Evan picked a fight with Conan. Oh shit? Andy murmured. Aunt Dee said, Well, Evan, if you're going to get into fights instead of taking care of Kermit, I'm going to have to talk to your mom about you. Maybe you're not mature enough for this job. Oh, wow, Andy repeated. Well, the first time I said, oh, shit, but I didn't know I was going to say it repeated, so you guys caught me. Sometimes I change words. R.L. Stine didn't actually say shit. I apologize. And then the whole thing was Kermit's fault, Evan shouted. pounding his fist so hard on the table that his milk carton tipped over. Milk spilled over the table onto the front of his jeans, looking like something milky that might come out of someone's area in the front of their jeans, but I'm not going to specify because that would be inappropriate. Evan was so upset, he didn't even move out of the way. And do you know the worst thing? Evan demanded. The worst thing? What? Andy asked. Kermit did it deliberately. He knew what the blue mixture would do. He knew it would shrink Conan's shirt. Kermit wanted me to get pounded by Conan. He did the whole thing to get me in trouble with Conan. Or Conan. How do you know? Andy asked. The smile, Evan told her. Huh? What smile? The smile on Kermit's face. You know, that twisted little smile he has where his two front teeth stick out. That's the smile he had when he helped me back to the house. Andy tisk-tisked. Is that a tisk-tisk? Whatever. Evan finished the section of tuna sandwich. It says tuna fish, but I feel like that's redundant, you know? That's like being like, yeah, I love this pork mammal sandwich, you know? It's not helpful. Is that all you're gonna say? He snapped. What can I say? Andy replied, your cousin Kermit is a weird little dude. I think you should teach him a lesson. Pay him back. Huh? Evan gaped at her. How do I do that? Andy shrugged. I don't know. Maybe you could, Her dark eyes suddenly flashed with excitement. Psh, psh. I know. Doesn't he have a snack after school every day? You could slip some monster blood into his food. Ah, don't fuck with monster blood. You know what happens. Evan gulped and jumped to his feet. Hey, oh wait, so is the shrinking thing that shrank the shirt gonna shrink him after the monster blood? Ah, goddammit. Evan gulped and jumped to his feet. Hey, no way, no way, Andy, he shouted. Several kids turned to stare at Evan, startled by his loud cries. Don't even think about it. Evan shouted, ignoring the stares. No monster blood ever. I never want to hear those words again, even though it's so fun to say them in the Monster Mash kind of way. Okay, okay, Andy cried. She raised both hands as if she didn't want cops to shoot her. Well, too bad. As if to shield herself from him. By the way, Evan said, a little calmer, where is the monster blood? Where'd you hide it? You didn't take any of it out, did you? Well, Andy replied, lowering her eyes. A devilish grin spread across her face. I put a little bit of it into the tuna sandwich you just ate. Oh, shit! Monster blood just came out to party! Dune rules. Chapter 5, yeah, it's the 5th chapter. Evan let out a cry so loud it made two kids fall off their chairs. Two other kids dropped their lunch trays, and two kids straight up just fucking died. His eyes bulged and his voice rose higher than the gym teacher's whistle. You! He sputtered, grabbing his throat. Andy laughed. She pointed at his chair. Evan, sit down. I was only joking. That was a prank video. Uh-oh, that was a prank gone monster blood, huh? Yeah, huh? You heard me. Andy said it was a joke. The monster blood is home, safe and sound. Evan let out a long sigh. He sat back into the chair. He didn't care that he was sitting in the milk he had spilled. Andrea, he said unhappily, stretching out the word. Andrea, that wasn't funny. Sure it was, Andy insisted. And don't call me Andrea. You know I hate that name. Andrea, 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 Evan repeated, paying her back for her mean joke. He narrowed his eyes at her sternly. Howard sternly. That new can of monster blood your parents sent you from Europe. Is it really hidden away? Andy nodded. On the top shelf of the closet in the basement. Way in the back. I'd like this podcast to get to the point where things like monster blood in the basement, like every word has one of those, like axed, and eventually it just becomes some sort of evolved version de-evolved version of the human language, where it's just every single word has a little code sound. I'll be speaking in emojis, y'all. She told him, "The can is shut tight. No way that stuff can get out." He stared hard at her, studying her face. "Don't look at me like that," she cried. She balled up the sandwich tinfoil and tossed at him. "I'm telling the truth. The monster blood is totally hidden away. You don't have to worry about it." Evan relaxed. He pulled the fruit roll-up from his lunch bag and started to unwrap it. "You owe me now," he said softly. "Excuse me? You owe me for playing that stupid joke," Evan said, as someone who doesn't understand jokes at all. "Oh yeah? What do I have to do?" Andy demanded. Wink. "Come with me after school, to Kermit's," Evan said. Andy made a disgusted face. "Please," Evan added, like a little bitch. "Okay," she said. "Kermit isn't that bad when I'm around." Evan held up the sticky fruit roll-up. "Want this? I begged my mom not to buy the green ones," because it's like monster blood. That's why he doesn't want the green ones. Anyway, drinking break. My cocktail's done. After school, Evan and Andy walked together to Kermit's house. It was a gray day, threatening rain. The air felt heavy and wet, as humid as summer. Evan led the way across the street. He started to cut through the backyards, but stopped. "Let's go the front way," he instructed. Wink. "Conan might be hanging out in the back, waiting for us." "Don't say us," Andy muttered. She shifted her backpack to the other shoulder. "You could just use both shoulders and you would even out the weight and distribute it evenly, and then you wouldn't have shoulder problems. But it's the 90s and backpacks only worked on one shoulder." She scratched her arm. "Ow! Look at this!" Evan lowered his eyes to the large red bump on Andy's right arm. "What is that? A mosquito bite?" Andy scratched it more. "I guess so. It itches like brazy." "You're not supposed to scratch it," Evan told her. "Thanks, Doc," she replied sarcastically. She scratched it even harder just to annoy him. A few sprinkles of rain came down as they made their way up Kermit's driveway. Evan opened the front door and stepped into the living room. "Kermit, are you here?" Franklin, I was calling Kermit, not you. You don't care. Franklin's on steroids right now. He's getting fucking yoked. But he was gone. Or when we were gone in Hawaii, he got super neurotic and chewed a hole in himself or two. So we had to go to the vet and get him shot and some pills. But point is, he's on roids. I might take him too because I've been working out a little bit and I want to get ripped. "Kermit, are you home?" No reply. A sour smell attacked Evan's nostrils like 1,000 warhead candies. He pressed his fingers over his nose. "Yuck, do you smell that shit?" Andy nodded, her face twisted in disgust. "I think it's coming from the basement." "For sure," Evan muttered. "Kermit must already be in his lab, making bath salts." "Kermit! Hey, Kermit! What are you doing down there?" Evan called out. Holding their noses, they made their way quickly down the stairs. The basement was divided into two rooms. To the right stood the laundry room and furnace. To the left, the rec room with Kermit's lab set up along the back wall. Evan hurried across the tiled floor into the lab. He spotted Kermit behind his lab table. Several beakers of colored liquids in front of him. "Kermit, what is that disgusting smell?" he demanded. As Evan and Andy ran up to the table, Kermit poured a yellow liquid into a green liquid. It's probably pee-pee into snot. Just kidding. "Uh-oh," he cried, staring down at the bubbling mixture. Behind his glasses, his eyes grew wide with horror. "Run!" Kermit screamed. "Hurry! Get out! It's gonna blow!" Chapter number 6. I just contorted my voice in such a way that it popped one of my ears. That's bizarre. The liquid swirled and bubbled. Kermit ducked under the lab table with a cry of horror. Evan spun around, right round, baby, right round, grabbed Andy's hand, started to pull her to the stairs, but he had only taken a step when he stumbled over Dogface, Kermit's huge sheepdog. Well, that's a worse name than Franklin. Franklin, don't chew it yourself. Oof. Evan felt the wind knocked out of him as he fell over the dog and landed face down on the tile floor. He gasped, struggled to choke in a mouthful of air. The room tilted and swayed as if he went to a rad-ass party, then he got the spins, then he puked, and he just claimed he wasn't going to drink anymore, but he drank, like, mimosas to feel better, and then he just kept drinking, and that's his life. It's going to blow! Kermit's shrill warning rang in Evan's ears. He finally managed to take a deep breath, raised himself to one knee, turned back to the lab table, and saw Andy standing calmly in the center of the rec room, her hands at her waist, looking all sassy and shit. "Andy, it's gonna blow!" Evan choked out. She rolled her eyes. "Evan, really?" she murmured, shaking her head. "Did you really fall for that? Huh?" Evan gazed past her to the long glass table. "Ah, the glass table is down the basement because the parents used to party a lot in the 70s and then they had a kid, so they didn't need a table that was all glass with like a mirror on one side." Kermit had climbed back to his feet. He was leaning with both elbows on the table and he had the grin on his face. That fucking grin. That twisted grin with the two front teeth sticking out. The grin Evan hated more than any grin in the world. I was going to make a joke about my friend Roy, because he kind of has two front teeth that stick out a little bit. Not a lot, because he just texted me right now, but then I was like, that's mean. It's not like it's really noticeable. I just know that he's talked to me about it, because he said he didn't want to get braces when he was a kid, and that's why it's like that. And I was like, I didn't want braces as a kid, but I'm glad I had them, because my teeth were fucked up, and now they're beautiful. And that's the stuff about my friend Roy who just texted me. "Yeah, Evan," Kermit repeated, mimicking Andy. "Did you really fall for that?" He burst into his squealing high laugh that sounded like a pig stuck in a fence. "He's gonna make you squeal like a pig. Ree!" Evan pulled himself up, muttered under his breath. Dogface hiccuped. The dog's tongue tumbled out, and he began to pant loudly. Hey, the only loud pants I know are those ones that are like old 90s style, like they were like athletic pants, and then you'd walk and they go squeak, squeak, and they're like nylon or something, and they're loud, and I don't know why people wore them, but it's annoying. Is that what he meant by pant loudly? Probably not. This is a bad diatribe to go on, and I apologize. Evan turned to Andy. "I didn't really fall for it," he claimed. "I knew it was another one of Kermit's dumb jokes. I was just seeing if you believed it." "For sure," Andy rolled her eyes again. She was doing a lot of eye-rolling this afternoon, Evan realized. Evan and Andy stepped up to the table. It was littered with bottles and glass tubes. Someone was smoking crack and getting drunk, and beakers and jars. Someone was cooking meth and holding weed, all filled with colored liquids. Someone was dyeing Easter eggs. On the wall behind the table stood a high bookshelf. Even the bookshelf is high in that basement. That's how many drugs are getting cooked down there. The shelves were also jammed with bottles and jars of liquid and chemicals. Kermit's mixtures. "I was only a few minutes late getting here," Evan told Kermit. "From now on, don't do anything. Just wait for me." He sniffed the air. "What's that really gross smell?" Kermit grinned back at him. "I didn't notice it until you came," he joked. Evan didn't laugh. "Give me a break," he muttered. Andy scratched her mosquito bite. "Yeah, no more jokes today, Kermit." The big sheepdog hiccuped again. "Yep. I'm mixing up something to cure Dogface's hiccups," Kermit announced. "Oh, no," Evan replied sharply. "No way. I can't let you give the dog one of those mixtures of yours to drink." "It's a very simple hiccup cure," Kermit said, pouring a blue liquid into a green liquid. "It's just magnesium harposerate. Magnesium harposerate and Ributusol polythorbitol with a little sugar for sweetness. No way, Evan insisted. You're not giving Dogface anything to drink. It's way too dangerous. Kermit ignored him and continued to mix chemicals from one beaker into another. He glanced up at Andy. What's wrong with your arm? It's a really big mosquito bite, Andy told him. It itches like crazy. Let me see it, Kermit urged. Andy eyed him suspiciously. Why? Kermit grabbed Andy's hand and tugged her close. Don't stand so close to... Let me see it, he insisted. It's just a mosquito bite, Andy said. I have some of that blue shrinking mixture left, Kermit announced. The stuff I shrank Conan's shirt with? Don't remind me, Evan groaned. It'll shrink your mosquito bite, Kermit told Andy. He picked up the beaker. You're going to put that stuff on my arm? Andy cried. I don't think so. She tried to step away, but Kermit grabbed her arm and poured. Obviously, this is what the scene from Fight Club was stolen from. Nice job. What's the guy that did Fight Club? Wow. God damn, that name is just on the tip of my tongue and I can't get it, and it doesn't matter. Fight Club had a scene like this, that's all. But Kermit grabbed her arm and poured. The blue liquid spread over the mosquito bite. No! Oh no! Andy shrieked like Shrek. Chapter number 7. My arm! Andy shrieked. What did you do to me? Evan lurched to the table, nearly stumbling over the dog again. He grabbed Andy's arm and examined it. He stammered. It's gone! Andy cried. The mosquito bite! It's gone! Shit, I have one on my ankle right now. Get rid of that boy, too. Evan stared at Andy's arm, perfectly smooth, except for a few drips of the blue liquid. Kermit, you're a genius, Andy cried. That mixture of yours shrank the mosquito bite away. Told you, Kermit replied, grinning happily. You can make a fortune, Andy exclaimed. Don't you realize what you've done? You've invented the greatest cure for mosquito bites ever. There isn't really a cure either, right? I know I complained about this, but Connie counted my mosquito bites when I got back from a country-ass southern Louisiana. I don't know, a year and a half ago? 2 years ago? Jesus. And I had 73, and there's no cure. You just are miserable. Kermit held up the beaker. He tilted it one way, then the other. Not much left, he said softly. But you can mix up some more, right? Andy demanded. Kermit frowned. I'm not sure, he said softly. I think I can mix up a new batch, but I'm not sure. I didn't write down what I put in it. He scratched his white blonde hair and stared at the empty glass beaker, twitching his nose like a mouse, thinking hard. Dogface let out another loud hiccup.
Yep.
The hiccup was followed by a howl.
Yep.
Evan saw that the poor dog was getting very unhappy about the hiccups. You're telling me. When I get them bad, I can only puke, and then hopefully they go away at that. But sometimes the way to save them is you put a paper towel over a glass and then, like, drink through that, and it, like, the entire glass, it's weird. I don't know. Connie taught me it. But it does help a lot. But if I get to a certain point, I'm done. The only way I can do it is puke. Dogface was a big dog, and so he had big hiccups. He looked like Gio's dog, or I guess Gio has two dogs now, but I think they're both big, but they're not both Great Danes? Mastiffs? Point is, that's way too much dog. Franklin's at 11 and a half pounds, and he's so handsome. So he had big hiccups that shook his sheepdog body like an earthquake. I'd better get to work on the hiccup cure, Kermit announced. You shouldn't switch to, like, cancer or AIDS or something more significant than hiccups. He pulled some jars of chemicals off the wall and started to open them. Whoa, wait a minute, Evan told him. I told you, Kermit, I can't let you feed anything to the dog. Aunt Dee will kill me if I'll let him try, Andy interrupted. She rubbed her smooth arm. Kermit is a genius, Evan. You have to let a genius work. Like Dune, reading Goosebumps all by himself. You gotta let me work. I'm a genius at reading. I am in my 30s now. Not even just I'm 30. I'm in my 30s. What am I doing? Oh, God. I don't know what's going on. This is... I should end it. Evan glared at her. What side are you on? He demanded in a loud whisper, wondering if he was on Team Jacob or Team Edward. Andy didn't answer. She unzipped her orange and blue backpack and pulled out some papers. I think I'll do my math homework while Kermit mixes up his hiccup cure. Kermit's eyes lit up excitedly behind the glass. Math? Do you have any math problems I can do? Andy nodded. It's a take-home equations exam. Very hard. Kermit set down the test tubes and beakers. He hurried out from behind the lab table. Can I do the problems for you, Andy? He asked eagerly. You know I love to do math problems. By the way, Andy should focus his entire life on just hitching his wagon to the horse that is Kermit and just being like, look, I'm going to get a degree in business management or personal management or marketing or something because, look, my cousin is a fucking genius and I shouldn't be a dick to him and I should just capitalize on this because he cured hiccups as a child and he loves doing math. Andy flashed Evan a quick wink. Evan frowned back at her. He shook his head. So that's why Andy is being so nice to Kermit. No, she's just looking down the road. She might even marry him. Evan told himself. It was all a trick. A trick to get Kermit to do the math test for her. Kermit could never resist math problems. His parents had to buy him stacks and stacks of math workbooks. He could spend an entire afternoon doing all the problems in the workbooks for fun. Don't judge him. This is a very significant special person. Dogface hiccuped. Kermit grabbed the math test from Andy's hand. Please let me do the equations, he begged. Pretty please. Well, okay, Andy agreed. She even flashed Evan another wink. Ooh, two winks in a row. That's a blink, baby. Evan scowled back at her. Andy is going to get in trouble for this. He thought, Andy is a terrible math student. It's her worst subject. Miss McGrady is going to get very suspicious when Andy gets every problem right. But Evan didn't say shit. What's the point? That's how I feel about talking most of the time. Kermit was already scribbling answers on the page, solving the equations as fast as he could read them. His eyes were dancing wildly. Maybe he was having a seizure. He was breathing hard. Yep, definitely a seizure. And he had a happy grin on his face. Oh, he was just orgasming. All done, he announced. Wow, he's fast, Evan thought. He finished the math test in the time it would take me to write my name on the top of the page. Kermit handed the pencil and math pages back to Andy. Thanks a lot, she said. I really need a good grade in math this term. Cheater, Evan whispered in her ear because he's a hater. I just did it for Kermit, Andy whispered back. He loves doing math problems. So why shouldn't I give him a break? Cheater, Evan repeated like a repeater. Dogface hiccuped. Then he let out a pained howl. Franklin, what's a pained howl sound like, Papa? Fine, you're not going to participate in this? Whatever. Kermit returned to his lab table. He poured a yellow liquid into a red liquid. Pee-pee into blood. Oh, it's just bodily fluids. This isn't actual real chemistry. It started to smoke. Then it turned bright orange. Yeah, that's what you get when you mix yellow and red. That's just easy color mixing. Andy tucked the math test into her back pocket. Kermit poured the orange liquid into a large glass beaker. He picked up a tiny bottle, turned it upside down, and emptied silvery crystals into the beaker. Evan stepped up beside Kermit. You can't feed that to Dogface, Evan insisted. I really mean it. I won't let you give it to him. Kermit ignored him because he's a bitch-made-ass hater who's always staring at people's yards and won't let people do science and doesn't like when friends help each other with math. Kermit ignored him. He stirred the mixture until it turned white. Then he added another powder that made it turn orange again. That's just Tang. You have to listen to me, Kermit, Evan said. I'm in charge, right? Kermit continued to ignore him. Dogface hiccuped. His white, furry body quivered and shook. Let Kermit work, Andy told Evan. He's a genius. Maybe he's a genius, Evan replied. But I'm in charge. Until Kermit's mom gets home, I'm the boss. Hey, do you want a genius to create a cure that anyone could buy at the grocery store? Nope, because he's a genius and I feel bad about myself, but I have a tiny bit of power and I'm going to let it go to my head. Kermit poured the mixture into a red dog dish. I'm the boss, said Evan, retardedly, and the boss says no. Kermit lowered the dog dish to the floor. The boss says you can't feed that to the dog, Evan said, once again, very retardedly. Here, boy, Kermit called. No way, Evan cried. No way is the dog drinking that. Evan made a dive for the bowl. He planned to grab it away, but he dove too hard and went sliding under the lab table. Wait, he might actually be retarded now. I feel bad for using the R word. Like, you can use the R word, but if someone's retarded, that's like hate speech, you know? Dogface lowered his head to the dog dish and began lapping up the orange mixture. Oh, did fucking Kermit accidentally make up his own batch of monster blood? Evan spun around and stared eagerly at the dog. All three of them were waiting to see what would happen. Chapter 8. Speaking of 8, why is it goddamn 87 degrees at 5:16 in the afternoon or evening? Dogface licked the bowl clean. Then he stared up at Kermit as if to say, Rankaroo. Kermit petted the big dog's head. He smoothed the white curly hair from in front of Dogface's eyes. Well, your parents should groom that off. That's not fair for a dog to have face or hair in front of his eyes all the time, like it's some sort of emo kid. The fur fell right back in place. Dogface licked Kermit's hand. See? The hiccups are gone, Kermit declared to Evan. Evan stared at the dog. He waited a few seconds more. You're right, he confessed. The hiccups are gone. It was a simple mixture, Kermit bragged. Just a little tetrahydropodol with hydrodroxylate crystals and an ounce of mega hydrosyl oxyneuroplat. Just speed that up. I'll speed it up in post and it'll sound good. Any child could do it. What a genius, Andy exclaimed. Evan started to say something, but Dogface interrupted with a sharp yip. Then, without warning, the big sheepdog sprang forward. With another shrill yip, Dogface raised his enormous front paws and leaped onto Kermit. A horse just went across the street. God damn, it's cool having horses around here. Kermit let out a startled cry and stumbled back against the wall. Bottles and jars shook on the shelves behind him. Dogface began barking wildly, uttering shrill, excited yips. The dog jumped again, as if trying to leap into Kermit's arms. Down, boy, down! Kermit squealed. The dog jumped again. The shelves shook. Kermit sank to the floor. Down, boy, down! Kermit shrieked, covering his head with both arms. Stop it, Dogface! Stop jumping! That's when I'm going to start yelling to ugly people when I'm at the club! Get out of here, Dogface! Don't be jumping around! You got kids at home! I don't think I've ever been to the club. The excited dog used his head to push Kermit's arm away. Then he began licking Kermit's face frantically. Then he began nipping at his t-shirt. Stop! Yuck! Stop! Kermit struggled to get away, but the big dog had Kermit pinned to the floor. What's going on? Andy cried. What's gotten into that dog? Kermit's mixture, Evan replied. I was going to make a joke like that, then I figured the next line would be that joke, so I didn't do it, and I'm glad I didn't, because it would have been redundant, but me explaining that is more annoying than having it done it in the first place, and I apologize. He dove at the dog, grabbed Dogface with both hands, and tried to tug him off Kermit. Dogface spun around. With another high-pitched yip, he bounded away, running at full speed across the basement. Stop him! Kermit cried. He's out of control! He'll break something! Crash! A shelf of canning jars toppled to the floor. Barking loudly, the dog bounded away from the shelf and began running in wide circles, his big paws clomping on the tile floor. Clompity clomp clomp, I'm clomping on the floor. Round and round, as if chasing his tail like a turd going down the toilet. Dog face, whoa! Evan called, chasing after the sheepdog. He turned back to Andy. Help me, we've got to stop him, he's acting crazy. Dogface disappeared into the laundry room. That'd be tight if the whole book was just about making a laundry dog. Because we would just make a fleet of laundry dogs. It would ruin the entire business for dry cleaners. Oh, fuck, I have dry cleaning in my trunk that's been sitting there for like a month. I should take care of that. Dogface, come back here, Evan called. He burst into the laundry room in time to see the dog crash into the ironing board. It toppled over with a stack of clothes that had been resting on it. The iron clattered all over the hard floor. Dogface yelped. Hard floor, not comfortable. 2 stars. Dogface yelped and climbed out from under the spilled clothes. Spotting Evan, the dog's stubby tail began wagging, and he leaped across the room. No! Evan screeched as the huge dog knocked him over backwards to the ground. Dogface frantically licked Evan's face. More like Evan face, right? Because the dog... Forget it. Behind him, Evan heard Andy laugh. Too much energy. He's acting like a crazy puppy, she declared. Franklin. 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 Will you act like a puppy? Dear God, wake up. I know you're on new medication, but fuck, you're sleepy. Dogface was sniffing furiously under the washing machine. He pounced on a large black ant. Oh no, you didn't pounce on me. I'ma get my nephew. Because it's an ant and forget it. Then he turned and came bounding over for Andy and Evan. Hey, it's Adam and Eve, not Andy and Evan. Good one, Dan. Thank you. Look out, Evan cried. But the big sheepdog lumbered past them, back into the other room. They followed him, watching him roll over a few times. Good boy. Kicking his big furry paws into the air. Then Dogface jumped to his feet and came charging at Kermit. Whoa, whoa, boy, Kermit cried. He turned to Andy. You're right. This is just the way Dogface acted when he was a puppy. The mixture gave him too much energy. Told you he was making speed. The sheepdog crashed into an old couch. Huh? See, speed for too long. He's got to go crash in an old couch against the wall. He climbed up onto the couch, sniffing the cushions for farts, exploring, his stubby tail wagging furiously. What is up with people cutting the tails off their dogs? That is horrific. I say that, but I'm someone that supports circumcision, so I don't know. I'm just saying the tail looks like a weird tail and serves no purpose. And a circumcised dong, that's just a good-looking dong. You know, case in point. Dogface, you're not a puppy, Evan cried. Please listen to me. You're too big to be a puppy, Dogface, please. Look out, Andy shrieked. The dog jumped off the couch and went running full speed toward Kermit. No, stop, Kermit cried. That'd be cool if he spelled cried with a K like Kermit, but he didn't. He dove behind the lab table. The dog tried to slow down, but his big legs were carrying him too fast. Dogface crashed into the lab table. Bottles and beakers flew into the air, then crashed to the floor. The table toppled over on top of Kermit. The shelves fell off the wall, and all the jars and tubes and beakers tumbled to the floor. Shattering, clattering, chemicals poured all over the floor. What a mess, Evan cried. What a horrible mess. There's chemicals all over the floor, like everyone at a rave vomited at once. He turned and let out a loud gasp. Aunt Dee stood in the doorway. Her mouth was open wide in surprise, and her eyes nearly bulged out of her head. What on earth is going on down here? She shrieked. Well, Evan started. How could he begin to explain? And if he did find a way to explain, would Aunt Dee believe him? Aunt Dee pressed her hands against her waist and tapped one foot on the floor like a caricature of an angry woman. What has happened here? She demanded angrily. Well, Evan repeated. Kermit spoke up. He pointed an accusing finger at Evan. Evan was teasing the dog, he cried like a little bitch.
Chapter number 9.
Kermit's mom glared angrily at Evan. "I'm paying you to take care of Kermit," she said sternly, "not to play silly jokes on the dog and wreck my fucking house." But, Evan sputtered. Every Goosebumps book has the goddamn but, blank sputtered. "Dear God, R.L. Stein, Evan, don't do it," Andy protested, but her words were drowned out by Kermit, who let out a loud, phony wail in a burst into tears.
"I tried to stop Evan," Kermit sobbed like Cartman. "I didn't want him to tease Dogface, but he wouldn't stop."
Kermit rushed into his mother's arm. "It's okay," Aunt Dee said soothingly. "It's okay, Kermit. I'll make sure Evan never does this again." She pulled out a gun and shot him in the face.
Just kidding, that didn't happen at all.
She narrowed her eyes angrily at Evan as Kermit continued to sob, holding on to his mother like a baby. Like that one kid that was still breastfeeding on Game of Thrones, like that kid. Evan rolled his eyes at Andy. Andy replied with a shrug. "Evan, you and Andy can start cleaning up this mess," Mrs. Majors ordered. "Kermit, it's a very sensitive boy. He's so sensitive. When you play jokes like this, it upsets him terribly." Kermit sobbed even louder. His mom tenderly patted his head.
"It's okay, Kermit. It's okay. Evan won't ever tease Dogface again," she whispered.
But, Evan sputtered. "God damn it, Arlston. How could Kermit put on such an act? How could he deliberately get Evan into trouble? This mess wasn't Evan's fault. It was Kermit's."
"I really don't think," Andy started, but Aunt Dee raised a hand to silence her.
"Just get this mess cleaned up, okay?" She turned to Evan. "I'm not going to tell your mom about this, Evan," she said, still patting Kermit's head.
"Thanks," Evan muttered.
"I'm going to give you one more chance," she continued. "You don't really deserve it. If you weren't my nephew, I'd make you pay for all the damage, and I'd get someone else to take care of Kermit."
"Evan is mean," Kermit murmured, once again like a little bitch. Lots of lines like a little bitch.
Now I am reconsidering Evan's career path of just riding Kermit's coattails, because he is quite terrible, and he'll probably just get murdered by someone that's reasonable. Removing his glasses and wiping tears off his cheeks,
"Evan is really mean. What a little rat," Evan thought,
but he remained silent, his eyes lowered to the floor.
"Kermit, let's get you cleaned up," Aunt Dee said, leading into the stairs.
"Then we'll have to give the dog a bath." She turned back to Evan and pointed a finger at him. "One more chance," she warned. "One more chance." In the corner, Dogface let out a loud hiccup.
"See how you've upset that dog?" Kermit's mom called to Evan.
"You've given the poor dog, Dogface, the hiccups." But, Evan sputtered again, infuriating Zachary. As Evan struggled to find words to defend himself, Kermit and his mom disappeared up the stairs. Drinking break. 2 hours later, Andy and Evan wearily headed for home.
"What a mess," Evan moaned. "Look at me. I'm covered in chemicals."
2 hours, Andy muttered. 2 hours to clean up the basement, and Dogface stood there watching us, hiccuping the whole time.
"Yep. Kermit is such a little creep.
He should be called when they were calling all creeps." That was another Goosebumps book. I've read a lot of them. I hate my life. Evan said, kicking a stone across the sidewalk. Andy shook her head bitterly.
"Do you have any more cousins like him?"
"No," Evan replied. "Kermit is one of a kind."
"He's such a little liar," Andy said.
"Hey, you stuck up for him," Evan accused. "You said he was a genius, remember?
You were so happy that he did your math problems for you. You thought he was wonderful."
Andy shifted her backpack onto the other shoulder. A smile crossed her face.
"I forgot all about the math problems," she said.
"Kermit may be a little creep, but he's also a genius, and I'm gonna get an A in math." She let out a happy cheer.
"Winners never cheat, and cheaters never win," Evan muttered, thinking up some sort of slogan he could sell to the No Fear company. Second place is just the first loser. So that would make it first place. All right. Then third place becomes the first loser. But that makes it the winner of the losers. And oh, God, this is so confusing. It goes on forever. It's turtles all the way down. Andy gave him a playful shove. Did you make that up? It's very catchy. Give me a break, Evan growled. He turned and made his way up his driveway without saying goodbye. A second drinking break. Andy called him two nights later. Your cousin Kermit is a total creep, she shouted loudly. Evan had to hold the phone away from his ear. Do you know what he did? Do you know what that little motherfucker did? Andy shrieked. No. What? Evan asked softly. Axing me softly with your questions. He did all the math equations wrong, Andy cried. Excuse me? Evan wasn't sure he heard correctly. The genius got everything wrong? On purpose, Andy declared. He got them wrong on purpose. He made up answers for all of them. He didn't even read the problems. He just wrote down stupid answers. But why? Evan demanded. Why? Why? Because he's Kermit, Andy screamed. Evan swallowed hard. Poor Andy, he thought. Now she will fail math. What a mean, rotten trick, Andy shrieked into the phone. Mrs. McGrady called me up to her desk and asked me to explain my answers. She asked me how I could possibly be so totally off on every single equation. Andy sighed bitterly. Of course I couldn't answer her. I just stood there with my mouth open. I think I drooled on her desk. After we left his house, Kermit probably laughed his ass off, Evan said. That brat has a sick sense of humor, Andy wailed. We have to pay him back, Evan. We really do. Yeah, we do, Evan agreed. We have to get out. The monster blood, Andy urged. We have to use the monster blood to pay him back. Yeah, we do, Evan agreed. Oh, goddamn, shit's about to get monster bloody. Chapter number 10. Evan called Andy back later that night. I changed my mind, he said. I don't want to use the monster blood. It is the blood. It is the monster blood. What's your problem? Andy demanded. Kermit deserves it. You know he does. Monster blood is too dangerous, Evan told her. It turned Cuddles the hamster into a giant, roaring monster that came as a toy in Taco Bell kids' meals in the 90s because Dune had one even though he didn't like Taco Bell as a kid, but he's made up for it as an adult. I don't want to turn Kermit into a giant, roaring monster. Neither do I. We won't make him Hillary Clinton. Just kidding, Andy exclaimed. I don't want to feed it to him, Evan. I just want to slip a tiny bit into one of his mixtures. He thinks he is so smart and he can do anything. I want to see Kermit's face when his mixture goes berserk. She laughed gleefully. What an evil thought. What an evil laugh, Evan thought, because he didn't hear Dune's version of it. It will be awesome, Andy exclaimed. Forget about it, Evan insisted. I have nightmares about monster blood almost every night. I don't want to see that shit ever again, Andy. I really don't. Leave it locked up, please. But you said we could do it, Andy pleaded. I made a mistake, Evan told her. Don't take it out of the closet, Andy. Leave it safe and sound in its can, okay? Andy didn't reply. Okay? Evan demanded. Okay? Okay. Andy finally agreed. Drinking break. Damn, it's hot enough that my cocktail no longer has ice. I'm just gonna finish it. We're going outside to play today, Kermit, Evan said finally. It's a beautiful day, and we're going to go out and not stay in the stupid basement. Get it? It was a sunny, warm Thursday afternoon. Wow, I'm recording this on a sunny, warm Thursday afternoon. Holy shit.
Golden sunlight filtered down through the dust-covered basement windows up near the ceiling. Standing behind his lab table, arranging his jars and bottles of chemicals, Kermit muttered something to himself. "No argument," Andy and-added. "We're going outside, even if Evan and I have to drag you out. You know how everyone calls me the drag queen. But I have a mixture I want to try," Kermit whined. "You need some sunshine," Evan told him. "Look how pale you are. You look just like a white mouse." Kermit was wearing a huge olive-colored t-shirt over baggy brown shorts. With his white blonde hair, beady eyes, and buck teeth, he looked more like a rat in human clothes. "I saw a rat last night. I was walking Franklin. I was taking him on a walk, and it was in the tree in front of my house. That does not make me very happy, especially as he just got skunked, and there's clearly possums around here and raccoons and shit. But a rat in my tree." He frowned, hurt by Evan's description. "Okay, I'll go outside with you," he murmured unhappily. "Yay!" Andy whooped. It was the first time Kermit had ever agreed to leave his basement lab. "But first, I have to have a drink," Kermit said. He stepped out from behind the lab table and made his way toward the basement stairs. "You want an orange soda?" I do. Evan replied, doing his best Kel impression. He and Andy followed Kermit up the stairs to the kitchen. "I can't believe he agreed to go out and play," Andy whispered. "Do you think he's sick or something? Maybe he feels bad about all the mean tricks he pulled," Evan whispered. The kitchen phone rang. "Ring, ring, 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 ring. Kitchen phone." Evan answered it. It was the wrong number. He hung up the phone. He and Andy stepped up to the counter. Andy was wearing pink jeans and a yellow sleeveless t-shirt and a bright orange high tops. Wait, why was the phone part in there? Phone rang, answered it, wrong number. That has to come up later. He doesn't put random erroneous details in his books, right? God, I'm curious. Kermit had already poured out 3 glasses of orange soda. The soda was the same color as Andy's high tops, Evan noticed. They all drank the soda down quickly. "I was really thirsty," Kermit said. Evan didn't pay any attention to the strange smile on Kermit's face. After all, Kermit always had a strange smile on his face. "This orange soda is really sweet," Andy commented. She made a face. "Too sweet. It made my teeth itch." Gross, that's some tweaker shit. Kermit laughed. "I think it's good," he said. They set the glasses down on the sink and stepped out the back door. Evan found a red frisbee on the back stoop. He flipped it to Andy. "It's my frisbee sound. You guys like it?" "Oh, my buddy Kevin, not Kevin from Comics Online, but Kevin whose last name is Butts, asked me to go frisbee golfing, and I was like, yeah, let's do this. Actually, he said he goes, and I was like, let's do it. But I haven't heard from him. I should probably set that up." Andy trotted across the backyard and flipped it back to Evan. "Let's pay. Keep away from Kermit," she cried. "Hey, no way," Kermit protested. "Toss it to me." I like how they try to convince him to finally go outside. And by the time they do, they're like, okay, cool, let's peck on him. That's not how you're going to get him into going outside. Andy sent the frisbee flying over Kermit's head to Evan. Kermit made a wild grab for it, but it sailed out of his reach. It hit Evan's hands, but Evan dropped it. Andy started to laugh. "What's so funny?" Evan demanded. Andy shrugged. "I don't know." She let out another giggle. "Ah, damn. Kermit put a marijuana tincture in their orange soda, or it's like those sodas that you get at the dispensaries. They're fucked up." I couldn't do that. If someone gave me, like, accidentally THC a bunch of it, I would just die. I'd just take a sleeping pill and call it a day, no matter what time it was. Can't handle that marijuana. Evan flipped the frisbee to Kermit. It bounced off Kermit's chest. This kid is a real klutz, Evan thought. It's because he never plays sports. He never comes up out of his basement. Andy uttered a high-pitched laugh. Hee! Evan started to laugh too.
Kermit picked up the frisbee. He tried to toss it to Andy, but the frisbee sailed way over her head. It hit the side of the garage and bounced off. You can hit the broadside of a garage. Oh, yeah, you did. Never mind. Forget it. Evan and Andy both laughed harder. Evan trotted over to the garage. He sent a sidearm toss toward Andy. She missed, and the frisbee flew into the low hedges at the side of the yard. Andy didn't chase after it. She was laughing too hard. Evan laughed even harder. Tears ran down his cheeks. What's happening to me? He wondered, suddenly feeling frightened. Uh-oh, it's turned. He didn't get Funyuns in time. It has turned on him. I know that feeling. Why can't I stop laughing? What's going on? They know. Everyone knows. I just need to lay down. I just added those ones. Kermit grinned at both of them. That grin. Evan laughed even harder, so hard his stomach hurt. Something is wrong, Evan realized. Something is terribly wrong. Kermit, why are we laughing? He stammered. Andy wiped tears from her eyes. She held her sides and laughed some more. Why are we laughing? Evan demanded. I gave you my laughing mixture, Kermit told them. I put it in the orange soda. Evan tossed back his head and laughed. Andy giggled so hard she choked, but she kept on laughing. This isn't funny, this is scary, Evan thought, but he let out a shrill giggle. How long are we going to laugh like this, Kermit? Evan managed to ax. Probably forever, Kermit replied, flashing his famous toothy grin. Chapter number 11. I understand that I'm trying to be healthy, but I'm going to have a beer. I assume that reading things like this burns some calories, but then again, radio hosts are usually fat, so I don't know, but I'm going to have a beer because it's too early to keep up this pace with liquor. Evan took a deep breath and tried to hold it, but the laughter burst out of him so hard his chest ached. That's just straight up marijuana stuff right now. Laughing giddily, Andy made a grab for Kermit. Kermit ducked out of her reach and went scampering toward the fence at the back of the yard. Evan shook his head hard, trying to shake off the effect of the laughter potion, but it didn't help. He laughed until tears rolled down his face. Hell yeah, laugh now, cry later. That's what I would call that formula. I still want to get a tattoo of two just sad faces, which is cry now, cry later. Whatever. Andy chased after Kermit, laughing shrilly. Evan followed, gasping for breath. I can't breathe, I realized. I'm laughing so hard I can't breathe. Kermit! Evan choked out. You've got to stop it! A high giggle burst out of his throat. You've got to. I don't know how, Kermit replied calmly. Andy and Evan laughed in reply. It's awesome, isn't it? Kermit declared happily. The mixture works perfectly. Andy made a grab for Kermit's throat. Again, Kermit ducked away. Andy and Evan laughed a little harder. Andy picked up the frisbee and tried to heave it at Kermit, but she was laughing too hard to control it. The frisbee sailed over the fence. Oh shit, it's gonna be in Conan's yard. That kid's a jabroni. Hey, get that back, that's mine, Kermit demanded. Evan and Andy laughed. A familiar face popped up on the other side of the fence. Wilson! Oh no, it's Conan. I thought it was like Home Improvement. I thought it was that dude. Conan! Kermit replied. Conan peered first at Andy, then at Evan. Are you looking at my yard? He asked Evan. What a weird thing to obsess about. Evan struggled to hold it in, but he let out a high, shrill laugh. Didn't I warn you last week about looking at my yard? Conan demanded. Evan laughed. Conan, give me back my frisbee, Kermit whined.
Like a little bitch.
Conan leaped over the fence. Evan saw that he had the frisbee in his left hand. Conan quickly hid the frisbee behind his back. Andy and Evan laughed. Andy wiped tears from her eyes. Her whole body shook with laughter. Give me back my frisbee, Kermit insisted. Conan ignored him. What's so funny? He axed Andy and Evan. He balled his right hand into a fist. Well, hopefully he doesn't fist his right hand into Evan's balls, am I right? Andy giggled like the listeners probably are right now, because Dune is so clever with his balls jokes. If we keep laughing, he'll pound us, Evan realized, but he couldn't help himself. He let out a loud belly laugh. Ho, 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 Santa Claus style, motherfucker. Hey, I want my frisbee, Kermit whined. I don't have your frisbee, Conan lied, keeping his left hand behind his back. Evan tossed his head back and laughed. Yes, you do, it's behind your back, Kermit said. Give it back, Conan. Who's gonna make me? Conan demanded in a low, menacing voice. Who's gonna make me?
Is that menacing? I don't think I'm ever menacing. I just have like a weird, goofy Southern California surfer voice. I need to start smoking so I can do ads for radio, because it's almost there, but not quite.
Evan let out a high giggle. Andy laughed too. They are, Kermit replied to Conan. They're gonna make you. He turned to Evan. Make Conan give back my frisbee. Evan laughed in reply. What's so funny? Conan asked again. Andy shook her head. Nothing. Nothing's funny. She choked out, then burst out laughing. I don't like people laughing at me, Conan said. This is horrible, Evan thought. One more laugh and Conan could sexplode. Pop, pop, boom. Sexy. Evan let out a long hyena laugh. I don't know how hyenas laugh, but it's probably not actual laughter. It's just a sound that the animals make. I go really ballistic when people laugh at me, Conan warned. Evan and Andy laughed some more. I have to hurt people who laugh at me, Conan threatened. Evan and Andy laughed in reply. Conan turned to Kermit. Why are they laughing like that? Kermit shrugged. Beats me. I guess they think you're funny. Oh, is that right? Conan shouted angrily, turning back to Evan and Andy. You two think I'm funny? Well, no one really likes Conan, but his social media team is good at getting videos up on Reddit, but I don't think anyone actually watches this show, right? Does anyone watch Conan O'Brien? Everyone made a big deal about the fucking Team Coco shit, and then no one watched his show. You know, it's cool that he wrote for The Simpsons, and those are great episodes, but no one actually watches that, right? Whatever. Evan and Andy held their sides and laughed. Give me my frisbee, Kermit shouted. Okay, go chase it. Conan flung the frisbee across the hedges. It sailed over 2 yards and disappeared in a clump of evergreen shrubs. Come sail away, come sail over the shrubs. Kermit went running after it. Conan scowled at Evan and Andy. I'm gonna count to three, he growled. And if you don't stop laughing by the time I count to three, I'll make you stop. He raised both fists to show them how he would make them stop.
He's gonna fist them both at once. That's heavy shit.
One, Conan said. Evan laughed. Andy pressed her hand over her mouth, but couldn't stop a giggle from escaping. Two, Conan counted. His face twisted in anger. I've got to stop laughing, Evan told himself. I'm in serious trouble here. Serious. Black. Harry Potter.
I gotta go to the new Harry Potter thing at Universal Studios, too. Someone donate me some Harry Potter money. I ain't got no damn money.
He opened his mouth, and a booming ha 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 burst out. Andy had both hands pressed over her mouth, but it didn't stop the snickers and guffaws from pouring out her nose. Kermit came jogging back into the backyard. I can't find the frisbee, he complained. Somebody has to help me. I can't find it anywhere. Conan turned to him. You sure you don't know why they're laughing like that?
Kermit shook his head.
They told me they think you're funny looking, he told Conan. I think that's why they're laughing.
Dude, what an asshole. His cousin just got the shit beaten out of him. He knows that happened. And at first I was like, okay, he's kind of autistic, so it makes sense. He doesn't understand social cues. But he does. He knows how to manipulate people socially and turn on emotions and this and that. He's smart and a genius. He's just like an evil genius and a bad person. I don't like this at all.
I don't believe this, Evan thought. So angry, he wanted to explode. That little creep. How can he do this to us? Conan turned back to Andy and Evan. Last chance to stop, he said. He took a deep breath, stretched out his big, powerful chest. Three. Andy laughed. Evan laughed even harder. I warned you, Conan growled. Punch, 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 kick, kick, yeah, swag. Chapter number 12. Evan phoned. God damn it! I was so passionate about that singing of the chapter name. Let's do it more subtle and hopefully I can actually get it right. Chapter number 12. Andy phoned Evan that night to see how he was feeling. Evan had to hold the phone away from his ears. His head hurt too much to press a phone against it. I guess I'll survive, Evan groaned. I'm getting used to looking in the mirror and seeing a pile of coleslaw where my head used to be. Andy sighed. Your cousin is such a creep, she said. How are you feeling? Evan asked. How long did it take you to climb down from that tree? Not too many hours, Andy replied, weakly. Conan had said he'd never hit girls, so he picked Andy up and stuck her onto a high tree branch. How tall is he? He's like the opposite of a fireman rescuing a cat. At least Conan stopped us from laughing, Evan said. My stomach still hurts from laughing so hard. Mine too, Andy told him. I'm never going to laugh again. Never.
Sounds like a listener to Dune Reads Goosebumps.
If someone tells me the funniest joke in the world, I'll just smile and say, very funny.
All right, we'll try this one out. It's the only joke I like. Hey, when's the best time to go to the dentist?
2:30.
Still the best joke ever.
I can't believe Kermit did that to us, Evan moaned.
I believe it, Andy replied, dryly.
Kermit will do anything just to get us in trouble. That's what he lives for, getting us in major trouble.
Did you hear that little mouse laughing while Conan pounded me into the ground? Evan asked. Okay, yeah, definitely distance yourself. It's better to be broke than hang out with a sadist.
I was up in the tree, remember? I couldn't see him laughing, Andy declared. There was a long silence at the other end, and then Andy spoke in a hushed voice, just above a whisper.
Evan, are you ready to use the monster blood on Kermit?
Yeah, Evan replied, without having to think about it for even a second. I'm ready.
And so ends part one of Monster Blood 3 by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune. You know the places to hit me up, right? At Dune on Twitter. At Dune underscore M on Instagram. Dune at Dune Reads Goosebumps for email. And Facebook.com/Dune Reads Goosebumps for Facebook stuff. Even though, like I said, the messaging on that's weird. I don't know. Anyway, I'm Dune. Just keeping on keeping on. Life's weird, you know, just trying to get through every day. 30 years old now, still doing this. Still fucking doing this. And you guys can still stay spooky, bitches.